Let's look back at Luke chapter 4 this morning. Are you up for the test? And you'll understand that as we get into it here in just a moment. But last Sunday, we looked at John the Baptist and observed the people coming out to John the Baptist, probably in droves, I would think, to be baptized by John. And we also found out that in that line that was waiting to be baptized, there were some that were sincere and some were not. And then Jesus appeared and asked to be baptized by John. And at first John, if you'll recall, refused to baptize Jesus. He says, "I need to be baptized by you." But when Jesus told John that it was necessary to fulfill prophecy, Then John complied and he baptized Jesus. Now we need to note that it was not necessary, of course, that Jesus need to be baptized as a sign that he had repented of his sins, because he didn't have any sins, right? He was the sinless Son of God, the sinless pure Son of God. But when he was baptized, and he did that as an example for you and I, when he was baptized, it said that the Spirit descended on him, and a voice called out from heaven that says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." That pretty much confirmed who Jesus was in front of all of those people that day. And God is pleased when men and women and children accept his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's consider this morning Luke chapter 4, as John the Baptist now has moved off the scene and Jesus takes center stage. So let's look together in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry." So Jesus was returning from the Jordan where John had been baptizing. And verse 1 said that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now we need to note also that there's never been a time when Jesus was not full of the Holy Spirit. But it's mentioned here for a purpose, because what's about to happen is he's about to face Satan toe-to-toe, you might say, face-to-face with the devil. And you and I, as born again Christians, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit of God if we're going to face off with the devil. Now all of us, at time to time, if we're living for Jesus, there's going to be times when we're facing off with the devil, right? I mean, if we're really living for Jesus. And if you're thinking, "Well, you know, I don't think I've ever been face-to-face with the devil, so to speak." But can I remind you that in 2020, that the devil is alive and well? Can we not see that all around us, that Satan is alive and well? There's things going on in our world today that's nothing short of demonic. When an atheist can get on national television and promote an organization that's purpose is to squash Christians out of government, out of this country, and out of everything else. They just want us to be on the back burner and not make any noise. And then at the end of that commercial, he says that he's not afraid to burn in hell. To that I would say, sir, you will get your opportunity if you don't turn to Christ. Nothing short of demonic. Now, this was on CNN, not just some off-the-wall network television. CNN, what does that tell you? Tells me I'm not going to watch CNN very much, if any at all. Didn't watch it that much to start with. But Christians must be full of the Holy Spirit to face such demonic opposition. right? We've got to quit just crawling in a hole somewhere and acting like nothing's wrong. Or, you know, just sitting in church Sunday by Sunday and act like nothing's wrong. Well, I'm telling you, the devil is alive and well. Just like he was alive to Jesus out there in the wilderness for that amount of time. Well, what does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? You know, I thought we got the Holy Spirit when we got saved, didn't you? And we did. We did. But there's a such thing as having the Holy Spirit, which everybody who is saved has the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference in that and being full of the Holy Spirit. To be full of the Holy Spirit means that we have submitted ourselves to Him and we've yielded ourselves to His leadership in our lives and we're obedient to His Word. In other words, we're living for Jesus, right? Living for Jesus, unashamedly and unapologetically living for Jesus. So here's Jesus in our text today. He's about to embark on the ministry that He came to do. And it says He's led by the Spirit into the desert, wilderness. His stay out there would be about 40 days, we're told. 40 days without family, 40 days without fellowship or friends or food. Only one other person followed Jesus out into the wilderness, and it was the devil, Mr. Temptation himself. Jesus would be faced with the devil's lies and slander with no physical resources at hand. He had to depend on nothing but spiritual strength. And I think about that's you and I today, right? When we don't have the physical resources to combat some of the demonic stuff that's going on in our world, we've got to rely on spiritual strength, do we not? We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. And so we think about Jesus. Well, what, you know, why didn't he take anything with him out there? Didn't he know he was going to be out there for a while? Why didn't he take some food? Why did we see where it said that Jesus fasted? Well, I tell you, Jesus didn't fast because it was some religious requirement. Jesus fasted the proper way. He fasted to devote full time to God's business and God's presence rather than devote time and just satisfying his own needs. In other words, it was important, as it is important for us to be close to God. If we're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, then our life has got to be more about Jesus and less about us, right? So let's consider what went on in the desert, or the wilderness, that time. First off, the devil's first test that he gave Jesus, prove who you are. Prove who you are, as I'm calling that. In verse 3, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil played on Jesus' physical needs. You remember, Jesus, even though he was God, he still had a human body, just like you and I. He still got tired. He still had to sleep. And still got hungry. Obviously, that's what we saw in our text. And so the devil's saying, you know, why don't you just take one of these rocks? Why don't you pick up one of these rocks and just let God turn it into bread for you to eat? Surely God's going to meet your needs, isn't he? God wouldn't send you out here for nothing. He wouldn't lead you by the Spirit out here for nothing. The best way to face the devil's temptations is the way Jesus did, with the Word of God. With the Word of God. God always has the better answer, doesn't he? Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, and he told the devil, man does not live by bread alone. A person needs something more substantial than bread. And yes, God knows what we need. God knew what Jesus needed. God knows what we need. But Jesus, in this case, needed power more than he needed something to eat. He needed power more than he needed something to eat. And God always knows what we need, doesn't he? God always knows what we need. Now, the rest of that verse that's over in Deuteronomy says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what your Bible is this morning? That is the Word of God. Amen? And these are the words that proceeded out of the mouth of God and His servants wrote down for us to have today in the Bible, right? And so what we've got in our hands this morning, what we're reading off these screens this morning, is every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Man does not live by bread alone, that's true, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now let's consider the second test. You can have it all now. Does that sound familiar in the day that we live in? You don't have to wait. You can have it all now. If you want a new car, we'll finance it for you. You can have it right now. And if you want a house or you want or some silly gadget or whatever, just slide the card. You can have it right now. I'm guilty of all those things, by the way. But a lot of times mine was out of more than of necessity because the other car quit running. They have to get this car. But anyway, that's a bunch of silly talk. But the thing of it is right now is that's the society that we live in. Now let's look at verse 5 in thinking about that. It says, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. In other words, you can have it now, right? And when Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus, you got a big job ahead of you. It's going to take a long time to build the kingdom of God, but you don't have to wait. You can have it when? Right now. You can have it. You can have it now. You can have it all now. Just look out at all the kingdoms of the world that can be yours right now. And the devil said, I'll give you all of the kingdom of authority and you'll have all the glory. It'll all be yours. Well, guess what? It was already Jesus, wasn't it? It was already Jesus's. Because here's the thing, Satan doesn't have anything that God didn't allow him to have. He didn't have the authority to give Jesus those things to start with. Satan was tempting Jesus with something he couldn't follow through on. What Satan has is temporary. You hear me? What Satan has is temporary. And Jesus, of course, knew that. He would not think of worshiping the devil to obtain temporary things when God had the permanent things, right? And I'll tell you this morning that nothing's worthy of your worship except God, right? There's not a thing in this world that's worthy of your worship except God and Him alone. Jesus quoted from Scripture again, says, you will worship the Lord your God and Him alone shall you serve. Jesus was telling Satan, all my time's devoted to the worship and service of God. I don't have time for you, right? Satan, I don't have any time for you. It's kind of like this goes around saying, we ain't got no time for that, right? Satan, we ain't got no time for you. Are you listening? You think Satan's in here listening this morning? He could be, right? We all ought to say we don't have any time for that, right? We have time for God because we worship God and we worship Him alone. Nothing Satan can give us is worth an experience and a relationship with God, right? Are you hearing what Jesus is telling us today? Is there anything on this planet more worthy of worship than God? Of course not. God has ultimate power. God already has everything. And so He's the one that we worship. And you know what else? No one loves you and cares for you like God does. Amen. And just perfect what Robert was, the whole theme of the music this morning about God's love. And I love that, don't you? The thought that no one loves us and cares for us more than God does. And therefore, God's going to give us what we need. God's going to supply our needs. We may think that there's times when we don't have what we need, but we have what we need because God will supply the needs of His children. Now let's consider a third test, Satan's third test. Show everyone who you are. Verse 9, when he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus, you know, why don't you just prove that you have all this power? You said you serve God all the time. I'm mimicking Satan here. You said you serve God all the time. Now, why don't you let God serve you? Come on up here to this high point on the temple and jump down. Just jump off. And then Satan, you'll notice, kind of tried to do what Jesus had been doing. He quoted Scripture. Psalm 91. It says he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they'll bear you up unless you strike your foot against a stone. I said, well, Jesus, isn't he talking about you? Isn't he talking about the Messiah? God will take care of his Messiah. He doesn't even want you to stub your toe. Jump off. Go ahead and do it. God is faithful. He's not going to let anything happen to you. He's going to rescue you. And then everyone will see that. And all of them will fall down and worship you immediately. See, there's that thing again. You can have it now, right? Prove who you are. You can have it now. Verse 12 said, and Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan's the one who tempts, not God. God cannot tempt, neither does he tempt, is what the word says, right? And you know, worshiping and serving God is not a trade-off. It's not, you know, God, give me this and I'll do that. If you'll do this for me, then I'll do that. I'll serve you more if you'll just give me that. Worshiping God is total devotion to Him. It's not about deal making, right? You don't have to worry about God taking care of you. You don't have to make a deal with Him. Just set your sights on Him as a priority in your life, and He's going to take care of you, right? He does that. I'm living proof of that, aren't you? God will take care of you. Well, you notice in all three of these tests, Satan tried to appeal to Jesus' human side with temptations that he often uses for us, doesn't he? The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. Where have you heard that before? When he tried to get Jesus to make the stone into bread, he appealed to Jesus' flesh, what his body needed, what would satisfy his hunger and make him feel good. There's a lesson in that for us, right? When he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and promised them to him if he'd just worship Satan, he appealed to what looked good to the eye. And you know what always looks good to the eye is not necessarily good, is it? There's so much false things in our world today, things that look good. Looks good on Facebook, it must be true, right? Let's just jump on the wagon because everybody said it looks good, but that can be deceiving, right? That can be deceiving. When he asked Jesus to go up on the pinnacle of the temple and throw himself down, he appealed to what would puff up a man's pride. But the Bible says pride goes before destruction, right? There's a lesson in that for us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." And who is the prince of the world? The devil. Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tested, it said. The devil did the testing, but God allowed it to prepare Jesus for what was about to come ahead of him in ministry. God does not tempt us, but God tests us. There's a difference, right? God tests us in ways that will build our faith. God tests us in ways that will get us to trust him more, will build our trust. I believe that Jesus passed the test, don't you? I think he passed the test, as we say, with flying colors. And notice after it was all done, Satan ran away. Verse 13. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. When he knew he couldn't get at Jesus, he just ran away to see who else he could get, right? You remember when he tempted Job back there in that Old Testament book of Job? And it said the devil appeared before God and he's wanting permission to test Job. And God said, "Where did you come from?" And he said, "From running to and fro on the earth." You see that? You see, Satan, some people say, "Satan's always picking on me." No, he's not. Because he can only pick on one at a time. Now, he's fast. He can go from one to the other pretty fast. But he's not always picking on you. And let me remind you, if you know Jesus, you have a shield of protection about you, right? That he cannot get to unless God wants to test you in some way and he uses the devil for that testing. But Satan comes and he goes. He strikes us, though, when we're the weakest and we're the most vulnerable. But hopefully and prayerfully, with each strike that he might take in our lives, that we don't get weaker, we get stronger, right? We get stronger. Jesus made it through the test, and he'll help you get through the test when it's your turn, right? And I don't know about you, but I don't want too many turns. But when it is my turn, God will help me get through with it. Amen. So let's pray together. Father God, we love you and praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of your word that just like you helped Jesus, just like you empowered him with your spirit, you can empower us with your spirit as we walk closely with you. And that we can stand face to face with the devil's temptations, and that we can stand strong on you in a world that's just seems like day by day is less about you and full of people that try to squash you out of existence if they could. But Lord, we know that nothing happens, and I believe that nothing happens without your knowledge and without your permission. And so, Lord, we may not understand it all, but we're going to trust you this morning with all of it. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today that you would make them incredibly strong and that they'll have what they need and I'll have what I need to stand for Jesus in a world that's not much interested. Father, we give you the praise and the glory forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.